Psalm 23, this is God's holy word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Would you join your heart to mine as we ask the Lord for his blessing this morning? Father, we come to your word once more, and we ask that you would speak, for we are listening. I ask, Father, that in this moment you would anoint your servant so that, Father, I would speak only your truth, so that I would speak it clearly, compellingly, coherently. I pray, Father, that all those here gathered by your holy name, Father, would be given attentive minds and ears and hearts to understand, to listen well, and to do your word, to live in light of it. And Father, I pray, do this for the sake of Jesus Christ, our great high priest and our good shepherd. Amen. Why has the church loved Psalm 23? You know Psalm 23, right? We all do. Why do you love it? I think we can all give different answers, right? We could all say one thing or another, and probably all those answers would be correct. I think, for instance, that it's such a simple psalm to understand. It's so accessible, right? It's so personal. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not the shepherd. He's not a shepherd. He's my shepherd, right? The imagery is so vivid, right? It doesn't take a lot to imagine the care of this shepherd for his sheep. The promises are so wonderful that the Lord is with me. He's always with me. He'll always protect me. He'll always provide for me. It's interesting that David doesn't ask for one thing in this psalm, right? The other psalms, it's not wrong to ask God for things. We know that, right? The other psalms, David is asking God for protection. He's saying, help me, save me, deliver me. I got enemies. I got trouble. I got sin, right? But not here. David is just expressing gratitude. He's expressing a deep confidence in who God is. And who is God? David says, the Lord God is my shepherd. And because of that, because that's true, guess what? I won't ever want for anything. That's an older English word that simply means I won't lack anything. I won't be in need of anything that he won't supply. And yet, notice with me, and this is simple. This is the simple theme for today. I want you to notice in four examples, four instances, that God's care, God's provision, comes to David in certain circumstances. David prays this prayer, and he's not praying this prayer in a kind of picturesque scene, in a happy time of his life. I want you to notice that David is praying this prayer in the midst of hostility, in the midst of death, in the presence of enemies. God's care comes to us, comes to you, not outside of trouble. God's care comes to you in the midst of trouble. Notice with me. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His care in terms of pastures, waters, restoration, leading, it all comes in the context of Israel, ancient Israel's environment. Now, most of us have never been to Israel, but if you know anything about Israel, even now,
You know that Israel, the land, right, not necessarily the country, the land is a very harsh environment. You don't have a lot of water, right? You don't have a lot of water fountains. You don't have a lot of green pastures in Israel. You got high slopes. You got deep valleys. You got a lot of heat. And what David is saying is, you're going to take care of me in this harsh environment. I have no need to doubt. I have no need to fear because you are with me. It's like ancient Israel when they were delivered from Egypt, right? You remember the story. God delivered, he destroyed Pharaoh in the Red Sea. And what happened to Israel? Israel was shepherded by God. Where? In the wilderness. In the wilderness, ancient Israel got to know God like they've never known him before. God supplied water from the rock. God supplied manna every day, fresh food. God supplied them with shoes that never went old for 40 years. How would you like a pair of Nikes that never went old? I would love that. I go through my shoes in 6 months, right? But God gave them shoes that lasted 40 years. But where did this all occur? In the desert, in the wilderness. You want to know God? You truly want to know God? When the wilderness comes to your life, don't say, Lord, get me out of here. Right? I got problems. I got trouble. No. Easy. God's with you in the wilderness. God sustains you in the wilderness. He wants you to be in the wilderness because that's where you're going to know his power and his might and his provision and care. And you know, the shepherd here is so good. God is so good that David can talk about his provision in the plural. He says, you make me lie down in green pastures. Not one pasture, pastures. You lead me beside still waters. God is going to be so good and so faithful in his care for his people that he's never going to run out of supply and resources. His promise is so good that he will bless you in abundance. And he is so confident, God is so confident of his own care for his people, for David, that he ties his name to the well-being of David. David says, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, right? For your name's sake. If you don't provide, your name has been dishonored, God. So that's why I know you will provide. You will take care of me. You will protect me. Because if you don't, it's not on me. It's on you. You have failed. God's care comes in the midst of a harsh environment. But notice, secondly, that God's care comes to David in the midst of death. In the midst of death, the very famous verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, sometimes God's paths lead us not only into the wilderness, God's path leads us right into death. That's a hard thing for us to wrap our minds around, right? Because we know that God is good, God is loving. Why would he do this to us, do this to me? And yet, right after verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, comes verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David doesn't say, even though I was spared the death valley, even though I was saved from the death valley. No. He says, even though I walk through, I'm not going to walk around, I'm going to walk through this valley. We don't know what this was in David's life, right? We don't know if it was that all of a sudden a number of his dearly loved family members died. We don't know if it was that David himself was sick and near death. We don't know if it was because David's enemies were pursuing him and about to overtake him and kill him. But whatever it is, David says, when death is near, you're nearer, God. How do we know this? We know this because of how David describes God, right? In verses 1, 2, and 3, he says, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord will do this, the Lord will do that, my shepherd, the Lord. But how does he talk about God in verse 4? He says, you. You. It's no longer the Lord, somewhat distant, somewhat absent. No, it's you are with me. You are with me. You're so close to me that I can talk to you and I can say you because you hear me. You hear me. No longer is God referred to in the third person. David speaks to God in the first person. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. There is nothing to fear, as that hymn, leaning on the everlasting arms, says, what have I to fear? What have I to dread? Leaning on the everlasting arms of God. It's the same thing here. David says, bring it on. Death, not that I want it, not that I'm looking forward to it, but if it comes, when it comes, you're with me. I fear no evil. This is a deep confidence, you see, that David has in his shepherd. Is this the confidence you have in God? Can you say this morning? It doesn't matter what comes to your life. Doesn't matter what you might be facing. Doesn't matter if death is knocking on your door. Can you say this word that David said? I will fear no evil because you are my shepherd and you are with me. Notice that God's care not only comes to David in a hostile environment amidst death. It comes to David. God cares for David in the presence of his enemies. In the presence of his enemies. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. David here is, as it were, invited to a banquet. He's invited to a picnic spread, as it were. And the scene here is one of leisure and satisfaction. David has no care in the world, even though he's surrounded by enemies. It's like you're having a picnic and like bullets are going all around you, flying around you, or bombs are going off. David says, it's all right. It's all right. Because God is with me. And God doesn't just provide the bare necessity. He provides an abundance. He prepares a table before me. And when you have a picnic table, you know, you got to put stuff on it, right? It's not just like a ketchup and a little sandwich. You got to put the chips. You got to put the water, the fruit, the watermelon. You got to put a lot of stuff, right? That's the image here. That God prepares a banquet feast for David in the presence of his enemies. But notice, fourthly and finally, that God's care comes to David in the last place of danger. Which is what? It's in verse 6. I don't know if you caught it. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How is that a place of danger, you might be saying? How is this bad news? The house of the Lord, you see, was the place where sacrifices were done. The last place sheep ever want to be is near the place of sacrifice. The last place any lamb wants to be in ancient Israel is near the temple, right? This is a place of great danger for sheep. And yet, David says, I don't have a fear of the house of the Lord because something has happened. It's the same thing with us, right? We talk about dwelling with God. And some of us don't even know what we're talking about when we say that. We don't even know what we're asking for when we're saying, I would love to live with God forever. Do you know what you're asking for when you're asking for that? How can unholy people, how can sinners dwell in the midst of a thrice holy God? How can it be that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever and not be consumed? There's no fear here, you see, because there was one sheep, there was one lamb who was sacrificed for you. The Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world. That Lamb went into the house of the Lord, and that Lamb, you see, we're told, was pierced for our iniquity. Upon Him was laid the transgressions of us all. And it's because of Jesus, the Lamb of God, that you and I, as the sheep of God, can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Instead of wrath, there's peace. In the place of alienation, which is what is our lot because of our sins, there's adoption. In the place of fear, there's now acceptance. Do you want to live with God forever? I often ask people, do you want to go to heaven? They look at me like I got three heads. Of course I want to go to heaven. Then you can only do so, you see, in and through the Lamb of God. He's it. That's it. There's no salvation anywhere else. In and only through Jesus Christ, you see. And the person we should fear the most because of Jesus Christ now becomes the person we love the most and worship and want eternal communion with, God Himself. God is no longer an object of fear and of terror and of judgment. The Bible says if you're in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in the Beloved. And you know how merciful God is? God gives us these things. Welcome. God gives us these things. And then, on top of that, He says, you're going to live with me forever, and I'm going to send my two sheepdogs to pursue you and to rescue you. In verse 6, we're told, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God says, I want you to be with me forever. I want you to dwell and to live with me forever. And to ensure that this happens, I send my two sheepdogs to guarantee that you are brought home to me. This is the promise of our great God. What are two implications of the many that we can note? First of all, everyone needs a shepherd. Everyone needs a shepherd. And you're either going to look for one outside of yourself or you're going to look for one in your own life. But let me tell you, let me ask you, who is capable, truly, really, level with me here, who is capable of leading your life, of providing for your life, of saving you? Are you capable of doing this? No, of course not. Only Christ is. Only Christ is. And you see, why do we look elsewhere for our salvation, for our provision, right? Why do we grow anxious and say, oh, I gotta do this on my own? No, it's a lie of the devil. No, you don't. You need to look to Jesus. You need to look to the Savior and the Shepherd for all that you need. You can't enjoy His care apart from Christ. If you want to enjoy the care that God has for His flock, what's the lesson? You need to be part of His flock. You need to be in fellowship with His flock. You need to be in communion with His flock. The second implication. Because you're a member of Christ's flock, you need to be prepared for Christ to lead you in every and all manner of circumstance. When we sign up with Christ, so to speak, to use that language, we're signing up not for easy times. We're not signing up for a carefree life. We're signing up to follow the Shepherd. That's the priority. We got to follow the Shepherd. And you see, when we're following the Shepherd, the Shepherd's going to lead us in any number of places, to any number of locations that might inconvenience you, that might make you uncomfortable, right? No one wants to go into the valley of the shadow of death, and yet that's where the Shepherd is, and therefore that's the best place to be in life, with the Shepherd in the death valley. Lyell, you've been baptized today. And you might not understand what I'm saying here, but Lyell, I pray your parents will play this audio for you in the future. But Lyell, you've been baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that means that God is your shepherd, and you are to follow God wherever God leads you. And for all of us here who have been baptized, who have witnessed this baptism, you need to know that God is your shepherd, and God leads you in places that are often dark and death-like. And yet, that's all right. That's all right. You see, we have this idea of the Christian life that because God is with us in this world, as we live in this world, we're going to be removed from the dangers of this world. But that's not the case. That's not the case. Rather, in this world, with God our shepherd, God draws near to us in the midst of all the hostility and the death and the enemies. God is with you. And I pray and I hope that if Christ is not your shepherd today, that he would be your shepherd. That you would say, Christ, I have nothing in my life. I'm empty, I'm dead, I am a sinner, and I need you. I don't know what this life is like because I've done it on my own. I've been a sheep that's gone astray. Bring me back into the place of fellowship and of communion and of goodness and mercy and reconciliation with you and with my brothers and sisters. And I pray that as you cry out to God, if God is not your shepherd today, that you would, by the end of today, before we leave today, this auditorium, you would be able to say with David, preacher boy, the Lord is my shepherd. Because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. And praise God for that. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do pray and ask that you would hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ. That you would help us to see that your care, your intimate, familial, fatherly care comes to us in the midst of a troubled world, a fallen world, a world of hostility and death and destruction. And yet, Lord, we thank you for your promise that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you will be with your people until the end of the age, until Christ comes back. Lord, what a glorious promise we have to lean on, to rest in. And I pray that we who have known the shepherd would take comfort and confidence in his promise. And I pray, Father, for anyone here who yet doesn't know the shepherd, he knows about the shepherd, knows about you, but doesn't know you. And I pray for them, and I ask that they truly would come to know you today, that today they would surrender their lives, that today they would leave their life of independence and autonomy and come to the feet of Christ and say, oh God, I have no shepherd apart from you. I have no goodness apart from you. Save me and deliver me and lead me and restore me, for I need you. And Father, I pray that you would be at work in our lives this morning unto this end, and that we would all together praise your holy name now and forever when we'll dwell with you in your house. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.